Welcome back to Crunch Time, always brought to you by Ringwood Mazda. When it comes to the crunch, you won't get a better deal. And speaking of the crunch, it's time to ask all the questions that matter on and off the field, and that's brought to you by the Savoy Tavern, the newest, oldest pub in town. You've just got to get there. All right, let's talk injuries first of all, boys. On the back of the Clay Smith and what happened at Etihad last week, his third ACL rupture, how's that going to affect the psyche of the players that, such as Jonathan Patton, and we know Daniel Menzel, all around the league who have already got multiple knee reconstructions? How are they going to feel?
The guys who've done knee injuries, if you've ever had any form of serious injury, you worry about it. You do give it time in your mind. You do give it thought when you're playing and the like. So it's got to affect them seeing other people go down. Whether it affects you to actually say, I can do this again, I'm not too sure. But footballers love to play football. The wages, whatever. They just want to play. If you get enough time under your belt gradually, it should be enough for you to go on with. But when you see somebody go down with a similar injury and you've suffered that, it'll flicker a little bit of a bad flame.
I guess the ones are really the younger players, such as Patton. He's a big boy. Mm. He carries a lot of weight. He's just about ready to come back, from my understanding. But you'd have to be nervous, wouldn't you?
It's a percentages game, isn't it? I think once you've done your first one, your percentages of going again are far greater than just the odd random knee injury, if you like. But the players know that. I think it's part of the risk. It's part of the risk you accept when you run out
of
the
ground. Did you ever think, I never did a major knee injury.
No.
But it's just, I'd had all my cartilage out by 20 years of age in the left knee. And so I had bone on bone. You're always think, well, put it this way. I used to always bend my leads around to the left, and I couldn't bend to the right on a fast lead. So it affected, stressing that lateral side.
I think the thing, they just happen so simply, don't they? That's the thing
It does affect you when you carry an injury and you look after it, such as that leading aspect. But look, there's no doubt that there'd be some players, before they get enough time under their belt coming back from an injury, are really worried about it. The major one I ever saw was Gary Bucanara. It worried him so badly, he went down to about 11 and a half, 12 stone. It really significantly got to him after the 83 grand final. He snapped his patella tendon. And we used to watch him doing his rehab stuff, and he'd try and hop off one leg, the bad leg. He actually couldn't clear his foot off the ground. And yet the doctors are saying, telling you, on all the machines, he's got the right strength in there, but he mentally couldn't allow himself to do it. So it does affect some blokes.
Have you got your head around Sydney, Robbo? How is Sydney going this year?
Well, they're other than the letter. They're fourth, have won four games of football. I don't think they've played their best football. Buddy might be carrying an ankle at the moment. Tippett had one good game, which is last week against Melbourne. They're going all right. I mean, it's a pretty even competition. They've been beaten. And I think when it all comes down the crunch, they will be fourth or fifth.
Fourth or fifth.
Fourth or fifth, I reckon, I see Sydney.
So if you were John Longmire, would you be worried, settled, complacent, angry at the way they're playing, or would you actually be going, we're tracking all right?
I think they're tracking okay. Jared McVeigh back to a back flank last week, I think, was... That's the move. I think McVeigh's got to stay there. I don't like Lewis Jetta on the back flank. They're tracking okay.
When you say fourth or fifth, they've got to want to finish one or two.
No doubt.
Because they want a home final.
Canterbury's back. He's the one that is the wild card. They missed him last year. He didn't have a great year last year.
He's a good player.
Missed the top 10, the best and fairest. He had a poor pre-season coming in. This year's been totally different.
He's back to 2:13.
And he's back, isn't he? Yeah. And he's their class. He's their gut runner. You talk about it last year through the finals campaign. He was what they lacked. They lacked someone who could really carry the ball or break a line and still maintain possession. He's
better than that. He's a fighter for the ball on the ground. He's an outstanding inside, an outstanding outside player.
They're only scoring 82 points a week.
Yeah,
that's a huge concern for them.
You and I have chatted about this.
Yeah,
and Hawthorn never had a problem with Franklin being in the forward line, but it could have developed into a problem. What Sydney have done is pick Franklin up, and the possible problem, taking him to Sydney, put Tippett in there, and unless Buddy and or Tippett get six goals between them, they're not scoring more than 80 points. They can still win with 80 occasionally.
Ben McLean was out, then back in. There's a real problem in football with that.
That balance in the forward line. Yeah.
I think he was underdone from this pre-season. That was one of the reasons.
I think they're going ordinary. I disagree with you. Yeah. I think they're going really ordinary. I think the draw has looked after them a little bit. Can't wait to see them play some of the better sides. And they've lost 15 points on average week to week offensively. And that's a huge loss.
They beat goals. Port, though, didn't they? And then they got done by Freo.
Port are a talking point.
All right. Well, let's talk Port. What have they changed and why did they change it? Now, that's a big, broad question. Or is it just they're not playing as well and that's why the numbers are different?
Well, they're relying on scoring from their defensive 50. And when you do that, you run the risk of being scored against and being constantly under pressure. We've seen the ball live in their defensive end. That's not by design. They're not designed to lose clearances. And
the backmen have been all right stopping the opposition. They've actually held up all right, the back line. But at some stage, if the ball lives in your back line, endlessly, at some stage, you're going to get a couple of shots away and it's going to hurt. The thing that I notice is, as you point out, the ball's living in Port Adelaide's defensive end. I would love to see somebody actually start to really plot to the footstep how far those transient players in their team, and at any one time, there's probably got 17 transient players who run from back pocket, drill run up to the forward pocket, and try and score on that quick flow. I haven't seen anyone attempt to run harder. Last year they were extraordinary. This year they're trying to do the extraordinary with their hard running. And I reckon they've, even at round six, flattened a little bit.
Yeah,
some blokes can't get all the way back or all the way forward. It's hurting them.
Robbie Gray is the only gut runner they've got at the moment. He's the only one. Ebert has had a great year. And Matty White at times. But Robbie Gray, if you watch the behind-the-goal footage, he's the only one going coast-to-coast with his running. They are the worst in the competition right now at scoring from defensive half chains.
Are they?
Now, we watched them play last year, and you couldn't stop them. You couldn't clamp them. So I think that they said, well, we don't need to be this forward-pressing team. We can actually take it back a step, defend a bit deeper, help our defenders out. We haven't got a great back six in terms of the names and all that sort of thing. And they've tried to get teams on counterpunch. It hasn't worked. It's failed.
Do you reckon this is by design? Because
I do.
Because Ryder's up the front end now and they think, oh, look, when we do get it up there, we've got more tall targets. We've got Schultz. We've got Ryder who can snatch it in the air.
And the Hawks have shown them that this is the model. This is... Inherently, what happens is the team that knocks you out of the final shows you...
They were a goal away from beating Hawthorn.
They've looked at it and said, OK, what did they do better than us? And their ability to score on counterpunch the Hawks forces everyone else to think, well, maybe that's the way we have to
Mick
go.
Mick was talking about this last night, though.
Follow the leader.
It's folly to try and do exactly what they all do because you'll come up second or third best.
Well, they've already got a head start on you.
Yeah. Do North Melbourne play similar football to Port Adelaide?
Yeah, but North Melbourne score the third best out of the defensive half in the competition.
They've got a pretty potent forward line, North.
But it's more about getting the ball inside your forward 50, what the density's like.
From the back half.
What the density's like. If you're a rebound team, you'll go 20, there'll be 32 players in there, and you'll be fighting 16 or 14 on 18. If you go coast to coast, more often than not, you'll end up with a good one-on-one, three pairs down there that'll fight one-on-one.
Well, that's what happened. Exactly what happened last night with North Melbourne. They had so many people in the defensive. When they got down, it was open. And they do, they push back, and then they run.
Richmond, if you were going to be a private consultant to Richmond...
They need one.
They've got a few.
They need...
They pick up the paper every day, they're getting consultant.
What would your advice be in the short... And the longer term.
Okay, first thing I'll say, and I chatted about this with an esteemed colleague of all of ours the other day, and I said, you know what Richmond should do? They should actually get somebody in who knows players, a wonderful talent ID, and say, without me influencing you, not just what the rest of the football world thinks, what you think as an astute football judge, you talent ID the capabilities and the
of their list
and the frailties of their list, of our list, and you tell me who you think is someone to build with to a flag, somebody that can play in a flag, and someone you think is making up numbers, but we might overrate.
So you don't think they know their own list well enough, or it's just of a second independent opinion?
Well, what happens is you have players and you invest so much time and you put love into them, literally wanting them to be the premiership player you recruited them to be. and you invest so much in there, you're overloaded on seeing they're good. And sometimes you say they're bad, happens during a game, you say, we'll coach that out of them down the track here. And sometimes because you've got so much invested in him, you can't see that
who could
that
do that,
bad.
Who are you going to trust to walk into your club? Mm. One person walks into your club.
Apparently Melbourne did it 3 years ago, 2 years ago.
So Jared Waite and Sean Higgins, that's the answer.
Two to 3 years ago. I don't know who it was. This person spoke to me in secrecy.
Right. And said so you do know who it is, you're just not telling us.
No, I don't. Truly, I don't. The person who told me said he knew of the person they contracted.
They haven't done anything radical, the Kangaroos. I mean, what did they do that was radical? They allowed Greenwood to go for $500,000 a year, which was... They couldn't stop him.
Yeah.
They got
you're talking about 1 year. We're talking about 2 to 3 years ago.
Santo,
now, what we need
Waite
to do...
Higgins are the only changes.
Yeah. Well, you got to look at who they've dropped out of their list as well. And this question, being the crunch, has come up out of the blue, so I haven't done the research on it, but I will find out who has gone off their list, because there was a consultant go in there and review their list, I have been told.
All right, we need to take a break because Brian Lake's going to join us here in the box shortly. Later on, we'll have our spotlight as well. There's still plenty to come here on Crunch Time with thanks to Ringwood Mazda, because when it comes to the crunch, you won't get a better deal.